Hello, and welcome to the Self-Sufficient Hub podcast. I'm Carl from selfsufficienthub.com, and I'm here to talk about all things self-sufficiency. Sustainability and food security matters. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Self-Sufficient Hub podcast. I hope you're all safe and well. Today, we have with me Mike from the Homevert Homesteader YouTube channel. And, well, rather than me tell you what Mike's been up to and why he's here, I'll let Mike do it. So, Mike, why don't you say hello and just tell us a little bit about yourself and how we came to be talking today.
Well, hello, everybody. Very nice to be here. My name is Mike. And I'm a baby gardener, basically. And finally, after many years of trying to get this to happen, for the last 2 months, I'm actually getting to practice what I've been dreaming for and of. So, yeah, it's been a kind of crooked journey, but finally I can do what I've always wanted to, which is gardening.
Fantastic.
And, yeah.
Fantastic. So, I wonder if we could start by going back in time and just if you could just give us a brief idea of your sort of how, what your life looked like maybe a year ago.
Oh, wow. A year ago. Yeah. A year ago when everything was crazy. We actually made the decision to do this, if you can believe that, because our plan was always to, when I say our, it's me and my fiance, was always to kind of move away to a more easy, simple living, minimalist type of life, you know, because we were living in London before and caught in that rat race. But our plan on paper, our 5-10 year old plan was to finish and do this in about 5 more years. But because of the pandemic and, you know, a lot of other factors, we kind of, you know, bit the bullet and decided to, instead of wait 5 more years and buy that humongous piece of land that everybody's trying to get, said, let's start small. Because even if we're going to get 10 acres, 50 acres, 100 acres, we're still going to crop a small garden in the beginning because we have no experience and start small. So why not start small and just start instead of just dream and not do anything about it?
Absolutely.
So that was us 1 year ago when we kind of took our heart in our hands and said, let's do this no matter what.
Well, I mean, if you're going to be in lockdown, you may as well be in lockdown with a big garden, hadn't you?
That's the dream. The thing is, we did have a small garden because in London where we were living, we had no space. The allotments were booked. I applied for an allotment, but I was number 7,036 in a small allotment that was close to my building. So again, because we had an amazing landlady, we asked her for permission to actually build some planters outside the door on the hallway. And the neighbors were fantastic. So we just, you know, DIY'd some pallets, which were lying all around the streets, and made a 2 square meter planter garden. And we had so many plants and fruits and tomatoes and all you can imagine. 73 plants, actually, to be specific. So fantastic. That was last year's summer. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm a huge believer in working with what you have, not with what you wish you had. And that's, you know, a fantastic example of that right there. So were you using the square foot gardening method for that?
Yes. I had 4 planters that were like 1.5 meters long by 20 centimeters wide.
Yep.
So I had to. I had like compartments for – I had tomatoes in the corner so I can trellis them up. And then in between I had anything from sunflower for beauty to Swiss chard and herbs that were – that fed us all year round.
Fantastic.
Anything that grows in zone 6 to 8, basically.
Yeah, fantastic. And what does your garden look like now?
Oh, my God. It's such a huge leap in size. I mean, maybe it's not much for some old hardy farmers, but it's a fifth of an acre, I think, or like 1,000 square meters.
Yeah.
And it's when we bought this in December, it was already established as a mini orchard because there's a lot of fruit trees and berry bushes, but there's enough space in between those trees and berry bushes to actually have beds, growing beds. So yeah, I mapped out a lot of beds, and it's a huge step. And this is why I think our decision was wise, or maybe not wise, but it inspired, instead of just waiting 5 to 7 more years and buy a big chunk of land to just do this, because it's already like to jump from 2 square meters to 1,000. It's a bit, you know, you get that feeling in your kidneys, like, oh my God, when I'm going to do all of this, how am I going to do all of this?
But, fantastic. Yeah.
2 months later, it's looking good after a lot of backbreaking work.
Brilliant. Brilliant. So you mentioned that you moved out of London. How far have you moved?
We moved out of the UK, actually. Yeah. We went all the way because my fiance, she's from Poland.
Yep.
And our plans, we've been together for 6 years, was always to retire here somewhere in the forest, buy like a big chunk of land with forest, and we love nature. You know, we heard the call of nature a long time ago, and that's been our motivation to, like, you know, gather enough financial support to actually do this.
Yeah.
But the place where we bought this garden is surrounded by a humongous old growth forest, so we kind of got what we wanted.
yeah. Just without quite the responsibility.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. So.
Fantastic.
Yeah, Poland, north of Poland, close to the seaside. Quite far away from London.
Yeah.
Quite different, yeah.
Sounds lovely. And you mentioned already, just in the short time we've been talking, you've mentioned your fiance several times, and it sounds to me like you're both very much aligned with the direction of travel that you both kind of see in your future and want to move in. Is that the case?
It is, but we got this at this point kind of together because we're both city folk. We grew up in the city, or both of us. We had maybe family in the countryside, but not enough exposure to that to actually get the bug, you know?
Yeah.
But there's nothing like a walk through the forest. There's nothing like mushroom picking. There's nothing like, you know, the smell of wildflowers on a meadow. And when we had exposure to that and we came in contact with it, you cannot go back. At least, you know, it was for us. So for the last 6 years, slowly we kind of developed this. And I'll tell you a secret what kind of solidified this in our heads. We went for my birthday 3 years ago to a tiny town called Boston in the UK, and they had glamping over there.
Mm-hmm.
Like tiny cabins with solar powers and everything. It was like an 8 square meter cabin, and we spent like 4 days over there. No gas, no nothing, just lights and a kettle. All food had to be cooked outside on a grill or a barbecue or a spit, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the best experience because that kind of said, like, we can live actually in a small house like this. It's all we need. It kind of created this thing in our heads, like a very important question that everybody should ask themselves, I think, which is, how much is enough for you? How much do you want so you can be happy and fulfilled as a human being? So when we kind of ask that question, then in those 4 days, we kind of came up with a plan. We wrote it down. We knew exactly what we need to do for how much was enough for us. And, you know, we worked tirelessly since then for the last 3 years to make it happen. And we did in ways that we couldn't even imagine. Even if it's not a humongous piece of land, it's exactly the heaven that we needed and wanted.
Wow, that's so amazing. That's such a lovely story. And I think it's so much easier when you are in a partnership with someone who's kind of looking in the same direction you are, isn't it?
It is. The thing is, up till I was about 25 years, I don't want to make this about my life and everything, but, like, you know, guys, especially boys, until they're 25, they have a death wish, you know, maybe it's just testosterone poisoning, like Paul Stamets calls it, or something like that. So you just lost and confused, and you don't know what you need to be happy. So that was me. That's why I just moved from place to place, visited a lot of countries looking for something that I didn't know what I'm looking for. And that thing was somebody to love and be loved by. It was literally, you know, kitschy as it sounds, I was looking for love.
Yeah, yeah.
White Snake comes into my head now. I love David Coverdale. Looking for love. So, you know, I left for the UK when I was 20. And after a couple of years, I found Monica, my fiance. And that's when my life actually began, because every piece of the puzzle got connected and every piece of wood that needed glue got glued. And, you know, the whole plan took shape, and we managed to speed up that whole process, I would say, by 10 years, because when it's two and you, like you said, you're working towards the same goal, it's incredible what you can do. I mean, I'm not a religious person, but I know all scripture says that one person can do miracles, but when two people go on the same path, they can move mountains. So yeah, I think that's what kind of happened.
Yeah, no, everything you're saying resonates very much with me. I mean, particularly the, you know, the adolescent and young me definitely can connect with all the things you're saying, for sure, for sure. So you've spoke about gardening, and obviously, you know, I can kind of see your progression there, and it all makes great sense and a great story. You know, the idea of accepting your limitations, if you like, and but not accepting that, you know, that's an end to your dream, and, you know, building these planters out of pallets. I love that story. And then, you know, moving on to where you are now, do you have plans to do anything outside of growing plants?
What exactly? Like,
well, like animals, dairy, things like that. Is that in your future?
Definitely. So these gardens that we bought is in a complex of gardens, and they have basically, they're very similar to the allotments in the UK. Yeah? Yeah. And they have a set of rules. The national set of rules says that you can have chickens, bunnies, and pigeons.
Mm-hmm.
But as with everywhere, there are unwritten rules, local rules, where people need to give permission, like the community needs to give permission. So at the moment, I'm waiting. I've already spoke to the admins and everybody. We're waiting for that general meeting, but because of the pandemic, nobody can actually meet in those numbers. So that we can tell them that we want to, you know, get the chickens and the bunnies and then get them, because I have space in the back, perfect space in the back, to hold them and to pasture raise them and all of that stuff. But yeah, we're waiting for, but definitely there is desire, and not necessarily for the meat, because you know, I eat meat. Well, I'm mainly plant-based, but I eat meat that I prepare myself, or that I know it comes from good sources, and that's once a week only, because I'm trying to reduce after eating seven times a day just meat and having medical problems because of that. But I mainly want the bunnies and the chickens for their compost making ability.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people on the internet who use livestock for this, but there's one channel, if you allow me to mention it in particular.
Of course.
It's called Edible Acres, and this couple has perfected the composting making ability of chickens in a closing space, which instead of waiting for like years to mature it, they managed to do it as a bed topper in literally 3 weeks. And
wow.
They get eggs, because they don't really, you know, kill their chickens for meat necessarily until they're very old and, you know, they become soup because the meat is too stringy.
Yeah, yeah.
But this is my point. I don't want to have any amendments. I don't want to use chemicals. I don't want to, you know, regenerative gardening means you just add and nature gives you infinite in return. But I do believe in the role of animals, and also the chickens would play that role. The bunnies, their poop is a slow release nutrient for the soil, again as a bed topper, because I'm using deep mulch with straw now and wood chips in the pathways. So this initial work would be enough for many years to come, but I still need to add some nutrients.
Yeah.
So that's why I want animal labor. It's not a bed and breakfast. They would, you know, they would pay for their rent over there on the garden.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So what have been the biggest challenges that you faced over the last sort of 6 months, if you like, because I imagine, even though your move wasn't 6 months ago, I imagine that, you know, the whole process of purchasing the land and actually moving during the pandemic wasn't the most straightforward. What sort of challenges have you come across and how have you overcome them?
That's a great question. In December, I took all of my annual leave in one go, and we spent a month here looking for the garden. We knew exactly that this is what we can afford and what we want. So for 3 weeks out of December, we walked everywhere because there's 67 of these garden complexes around the city. And they're very far from each other.
Yeah.
So we walked until literally our feet were disassembling. Calluses and wounds on our feet that, you know, it's a good story to tell the kids in the future. But we found many of them that we liked. The thing is, we could never agree with the owners because they were emotionally attached. And that's, I can understand that, but that's quite difficult to sell something that you're emotionally attached.
Yeah.
And when, you know, we didn't give up, but we said, okay, instead of chasing after the wind, let's make ads and put them there. Each complex has a notice board. So we started putting ads everywhere that we're interested to buy this. We wanted the largest amount of garden that we could have bought because most of them are 300 square meters, 500 square meters, you know, that's the standard.
Yeah.
And when we kind of got home and had a deep breath and said, okay, let's manifest, everything is going to happen properly, we got a phone call straight away. And the gentleman that we ended up buying the land from said, hey, I have this and that. Let's meet tomorrow at this time at that address. And when we went there, you know how you walk into a flat or a house that you know you're going to buy and you just know before you even walk inside? We yeah. had that vibration of wow. And another thing that convinced us is that the evening before, I was planning, or I was looking on Pinterest at how to create, you know, like a magic portal made out of evergreen, which is basically a big round door, like semicircle door. I like these things. And I was thinking like how I can do it, which trees, which shrubs, which things I need to buy and how to mold them so that I can create that entryway into the garden that looks like a magic portal.
Yeah, yeah.
And when we walked close to the garden, we saw the freaking magic portal. You already had a magic portal.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, it had exactly what we wanted. I had prior to that, in the planning stage, which, you know, I've been planning this for many months, I had the trees that I wanted to plant, the berry bushes, the fruit trees, the everything, the nut trees. And when we landed on that property, it had the apples, it had the plums, it had the cherries, it had all kind of, like, out of 25 berry bushes known to man that grow in this area, it had like 20 of them, hazelnuts. So yeah, we said, this is it. Take my money. Take my money.
Fantastic. So what have you come across anything that you weren't expecting yet? Is there been anything where you've kind of, you've stumbled across something, whether it's something physical or just some kind of paperwork barrier or whatever it might be, and it's kind of been a bit of a surprise to you?
Paperwork, not really, because as I said, my fiance, she's a Polish citizen, so we could do everything really quick and really easy through her. So positive, we keep discovering every single day that the previous owner kept planting things in secret places, and they're starting to come out now, from beautiful flowers that I've never seen in my life to literally a whole bed of asparagus in a compost pile.
Fantastic.
Like, I planted asparagus 2 weeks ago and I said, okay, I need to wait 3 years.
So
I
can have
fun. And yesterday when we were at the garden, because Mon is building a arch pathway now at the beginning of the garden as you come in with scrap wood and twigs and stuff, you know, very nice. I was doing some work in the back and it's like, what are those things coming out from the soil? I looked closer and there were asparagus coming out.
What a fantastic present he left you.
And this is just one thing. Horseradish under the evergreens in the back. Like all of these things that's like Yoda, you know, he didn't tell us anything. Like he wanted us to have surprise. Like, the place that keeps on giving. There's so many that, like, wild mushrooms that are 5 minutes away from the garden. Yesterday, I literally picked up a whole basket of, they're called May mushroom or St. George mushroom.
Yes, we have them here. Yes, yes.
Beautiful. Yeah, they're my favorite mushroom because of the flavor and the smell. So I made a dish with them and the asparagus last night. So, yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, I picked some just last week, actually. I love St. George's mushrooms. I mean, do you have any idea why the previous owner left? I mean, it sounds like he certainly connected with the land and cared for it and, you know, assumedly loved being there. Do you have any idea? Has he moved on to a bigger garden or?
No, actually, I do know because he talks more than me, which is hard to find people. it's an achievement. He's an amazing guy. He took care of that land for 27 years. And he planted and he literally didn't till much. You know, he had a couple of beds that he tilled because he is almost 80 years old. So that's the mentality, you know, you need to till that. That's his generation. But he really had, unknowingly maybe, regenerative practices because that was the normal.
Yeah.
He gave it away because he's very old. As I said, him and his missus, they're like 80-ish. Their kids live in the capital city, so they're very far away. They're not going to come and take it over. Grandkids as well, they're far away, so they just physically couldn't anymore.
Fine.
And he said, instead of being like everybody else and just having a lawn and cutting the grass and coming here to cut the grass, I cannot do that because the garden needs to be gardened and the trees need to be pruned, and I don't have the capacity anymore. I don't want it to let it go derelict.
It's really easy for you to get in touch with us. You can do it either by sending an email to selfsufficientcontact@gmail.com or by using the link in the show notes to send us a voice message. You can send us a voice message just using your phone. You could also reach out to us on Facebook, where we have the Self-Sufficient Hub group and the Self-Sufficient Hub page. We're always thrilled to get your feedback, questions, or suggestions for future topics on the show. Mike, have you got any regrets at all about what you've done? Is there anything you'd do differently?
In which regard? With the garden until now or in the past?
In the journey you've been taking over the last year or so. Is there anything at all you'd do differently?
I don't think so. No.
It's okay to say no.
I had to think for a second, you know. But no. I think everything happens for a reason. And that kind of says goodbye to free will in many ways. But I don't believe in coincidences. And sure. I accept that. And I think every, you know, negative in quotation aspect that could happen is a lesson that we need to take to heart and learn from. But fortunately, there were not, I cannot think about any negatives up until now, apart from, you know, the language barrier that I still have my fiancé to help with, and I'm trying to learn. I wouldn't change anything. It was hard to live, you know, 10 years of life and friendships and in relationships back in London and just, you know, pick up our 47 boxes and move. But it is for the best because it's not just for gardening and for this passion. We want to start a family, we want to have kids, you know. Time is passing and we're not getting younger, and I think it was quite a good journey, full of excitement and good memories.
Fantastic. So you're staying in touch with friends in London. Are any of them sort of, do you get any, not jealousy, but are any of them looking at what you're doing and thinking that might be for me as well?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you attract people that are like-minded. So all of my friends from London, if they usually commuted from some place where they could have gardens, and the ones who don't, they just grow, I don't know. I gave them the advice, just, you know, don't start a garden, you don't have space, just grow a mint plant, put it in a pot on the windowsill and grow a mint plant because they're indestructible. You know, no matter how much you collect them, they're going to find a way to come back to life. And they're happy for us. They're happy for us. And I keep them posted with through the videos in Instagram and just sending them pictures on WhatsApp of what I'm doing ahead of releasing on YouTube. And they're very supportive. They were very supportive with this leave as well, because, you know, I worked for the same company for 7 years. So I was so humbled and full of joy to see that everybody, though it's hard to, you know, leave it behind and break these friendships, because if you're not there, let's be honest.
You
keep in touch at big occasions, but you're not, it's not going to be the same. But they were very supportive, and they saw that this is mental health, physical health, future, family, because this was it. I mean, we were both getting to the point where we kind of, you know, the health was slipping away from both of us. And I think we did it at the right time, because in just 2 months of leaving that environment and just being in garden every single day with very few hiccups when we weren't there, I lost a lot of kilos. I'm feeling better than when I was 20 years old. And this is not an exaggeration. I don't want to paint this, oh my God, utopia, but it is being in nature. It is the microbiome that makes your body function better, your immune system. I haven't had a cold when everybody else is cold or sick around me, you know. There is truth in nature.
Yeah, of course. So looking forward now, I mean, we've been looking back for most of the conversation. Looking forward now, what are your plans for the next little while? What are you hoping to achieve in the next year? And where do you see yourself, you know, beyond that?
Oh, so many things. I mean, this year, I kind of made this decision of being the year of hard work and establishment and observation, because as with the asparagus and with the mushrooms, there's so many things that are coming out. He told us the varieties of the trees and the berry bushes and stuff like that, but we never eaten these varieties. We never tried or smelled or tasted. So we're going to just observe, see what we like. And I would like to establish a bigger orchard in the back. There's a creek running through the property. And behind that, there's like, you know, this year I'm going to grow the three sisters, corn, squash, and beans.
Yeah.
But in the future, because I managed to prepare 43 beds in the front part, plus the other side for the tomatoes and cucumbers, I think I'm just going to leave that part as an orchard, peaceful, you know, tranquility, zen area. And I can do that really quick, because there's a technique called air layering. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
Yes, I am.
Where you can just take the branch of a tree that's fruiting already, root it up throughout this year, for example, and then plant it in autumn. And next year, you're going to have fruit straight away instead of waiting for a couple of years from seedling or from a rootstock. So that's the general plan. But just a quick setup. When I was a kid, I had the opportunity to actually spend my summer holidays in the countryside with my grandma. And I think she just, you know, I didn't learn much through verbal, but I learned a lot by observation. And she was big into natural medicine. So we would go mushroom picking and dehydrating them. We would go wild plant harvesting and wild flowers and all of this. And she would make all of these medicines, all of this tea and herbal mixes. So that stuck with me, you know, that knowledge and that information. So I would like to do that. I would like to establish the garden so that it becomes a bit more self-sufficient with the deep mulch. I won't have to water it so often and so on. Yeah. And then just go explore that humongous forest, go explore the fields, the wild fields around it, so I can start harvesting and making like a storage of natural medicine, so we can be healthy instead of putting chemicals in our bodies from conventional medicine. Not that that's wrong, you know, for infections, for trauma stuff, yes. But if you can prevent, That's my plan, to prevent disease instead of fixing disease once it's here.
Yeah, yeah. Fantastic. Have you got any plan to keep honeybees?
Yes. Yes, but the thing is, it's not on the list. So hopefully when we have that meeting, I can squeak in. I don't want to bite more than I can chew. You know, I don't want to be like the greedy guy who just, I want this and I want this.
Yeah.
But in time, you know, patience is always a good tactic. Yes. I will have at least one beehive, because I've seen some neighbors a bit further away having three beehives. So if they can have it, then I can have it.
Sure. So I've actually run through all my questions that I had for you, Mike. Is there anything in particular that you'd like to touch on that we haven't yet? And don't feel you have to, but if there's anything at all that you feel that you'd like to share, then please feel free.
Well, what I would want to share with you is that if you are in a flat or in a house somewhere without access to the garden, and every time you see somebody, I don't know, gardening, homesteading on the internet, you feel a knot in your throat. Every time you go in the forest, is like exactly the place where you want to be. You feel like home. The best ideas come to you when you're in nature. But right now, you don't see how you can make that happen or make it real. Just use this waiting time in between now and manifestation of this dream of yours to plan it. It helps a lot to plan, to write down on paper, to draw what you wish, what you want, so that you put power into it. And you don't know, you don't need to know how you're going to make it happen. You just need to know what you want. And eventually, through your work, don't think it's going to fall from the sky. But this manifestation process is going to put you on the right path. It's going to make you take a left or a right to get where you want to be. At least that's how it was for us. And I do believe in this process. I've watched homesteaders and crazy gardeners for the last 8 years wishing to do anything, the smallest amount to the biggest amount. And it was a magical process, painful because I didn't have it now. Being a millennial, you know how it is. You want it now. It doesn't matter how, just want it now. But that's what I would say. Just keep the faith. Use your time to plan. Just write down everything that you ever wanted, all the veggies and the fruits that you ever wished to grow. Draw them. Have a notebook. And just allow yourself at least 10 minutes a day to be with those thoughts. And it will happen for you.
100%. That's fantastic. That's fantastic advice, Mike. Thanks ever so much for that. And so before we go, where can people check you out? Where can people find your stuff?
Well, right now it's just the YouTube channel, Humbert Homesteader. And over there, you're going to find the Instagram and the Facebook and the email, you know, all the websites where you can find us. We're still in the growing phase now. We just want to enjoy this process as much as possible. But I'm very happy to share this with people because I have nothing to teach anybody. I'm doing this for the first time. I have nothing to show you apart from nature and from probably my mistakes, and hopefully my mistakes are going to save you time in the future, and have a good time seeing nature unfold and transform, because the best we can do is just participate, co-create with nature. You cannot change her or influence her in any way. She knows better than anybody.
That's fantastic advice, Mike. I love that a lot. And the only thing I'll disagree with you on this whole conversation, I think, is to say that you don't have anything to teach. I think that's a slight misconception, because I think just your sharing your story is a teaching process for so many of us. And I've genuinely gotten a lot out of our conversation. So I really appreciate you taking the time to spend with me today. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity.
And keep doing what you're doing, Mike, and I'll stay in touch.
Thank you very much, Carl.
If you find this podcast valuable, there's several ways you can support it. The easiest of which is to rate and review it wherever you get your podcasts. You could also talk about it or share it wherever you post online, including your social media pages. And now you can support the podcast directly by becoming a patron at patreon.com/selfsufficienthub. However you support the podcast, we really appreciate it. Thank you for listening. See you soon.